Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. September means the beginning of fall and the beginning of hunting season for some game animals, but it also marks a very different kind of season for SDPB's Kevin Wooster. You can read his blogs on our website, sdpb.org/Wooster, and Kevin joins us now by phone. Hi, Kevin. Welcome back to In the Moment.
Hey, Jackie. It's good to be back. Hey, before I take you up into the hills,
all right,
down here on the plains, can I just say about Jack Marsh, who showed up in the Sioux Falls Argus Lane into his room in 1992, and of course I thought, well, here comes another Gannett guy. Nothing against them necessarily, but not all of them would come in from the East Coast or wherever they came from and embrace South Dakota. And it was very clear that Jack Marsh had a different approach to all that, because he would ask questions about corn production and pheasant hunting, and he was always coming back from some trip somewhere. He made it a point to travel this state and stop and listen to people and talk to people, and he was always excited about telling me what he'd heard and asking me to explain something about that. You know, he often would help me understand journalism better than I did, and I was trying to help him understand South Dakota, and he was such a willing, avid student. And I remember one time he came up back and he said, "Have you ever been up on Sheep Mountain Table?" And I said, "You know, I don't think I've ever actually been up on it. I've gone by it a lot." He said, "Well, I've been up there." He was so proud that he had been to some place in South Dakota that I hadn't actually put my feet on. I have since made it a point to go up instead of just drive by. But I accepted Jack Marsh as a South Dakotan. I don't need the Hall of Fame to tell me that. So, Jack, you're a full-fledged South Dakotan to me.
Twice over.
Well, I just dropped my cell phone. I got to pick it up again. Sorry. We still have some show to do, right? I thought I was done for.
Drop the cell phone in lieu of a microphone. And we just demonstrated for our listeners how in other places it's, what, 8 degrees of separation. In South Dakota, maybe 2, you're lucky.
Absolutely, yeah. Jack would ask me questions about when I came back, if I had come back from a rough grouse hunt. He would want to know a lot about it and ask good questions that newsmen ask. But
well, that's a better transition than I had about moving into roughed grouse. Tell us about roughed grouse.
I figured I messed things up. I'd better try and fix them a little bit first.
I'm back on board.
Okay, here we go. September 1 is the opening of the hunting season for me. For a lot of people, the dove season opens in South Dakota, and there may be some other seasons. But for me, it's the grouse season in Wyoming, where I get a non-resident license. So I can go up in the high aspen country right across the South Dakota-Wyoming line and hunt rough grouse. And when I say hunt, I mean hunt. Because I don't pull the trigger very often. I don't really see a lot of rough grouse, but I sure hunt for them, and so does my Springer Spaniel Rosie. So that's how we begin the year, and we began it on Tuesday and had a great time. And as is usually the case, didn't shoot anything.
Yes, it's a good distinction to make. You're talking hunt, not necessarily equaling kill, but hunt as in seek. Where is it? Where is a ruffed grouse?
I will sometimes text Mary, my wife, if I can find a little spot of cell coverage out there, and say, "I just saw one." and she will say, "Okay, but are we having any grouse for supper tonight?" "Well, no, but I saw one." So it is a real celebration when I shoot one and Rosie picks it up, and we get to celebrate that grand bird, because it's a delightful tasting bird. And it tastes like fall to me. It tastes like aspen groves to me. It tastes like buds and berries and, you know, everything I love out in those yellow high country groves. So, but there was none of that on Tuesday. Just a lot of walking and looking and not shooting anything. Hunting is not all about killing.
No. This season is a little different. I know we've talked earlier, fall. It's my favorite season. It's yours too. But this fall and this hunting season is a little different for you this year.
Yeah, I lost my very good friend Keith Winterstein in May. He died at 60 suddenly of a heart issue that we weren't even aware of. And that's those losses. We all have them, and we deal with them. And And then you have these kind of anniversaries or holidays, you know, these firsts that we have to work our way through. And the September 1 was a big first for me, and in not having my friend Keith in my outdoor world. And because we would often be together on September 1st, either to hunt doves together. We had a thing that he called the cast and blast, which is we rarely ended up doing at the end of the day what we started out to plan to do in the beginning. So we would take guns and we would take rods and reels, and who knows, we might be plant identifying and we might be looking for a Snickers bar and we might be doing any of that stuff. But we knew we were going to have fun and it was going to be outdoor stuff. So the Tuesday was a little melancholy, as it was wonderful for me and my dog up in the high country, COVID safe, of course. Mm-hmm. Thinking about that good man who died too young, but also, you know, in the appropriate places, celebrating the times we had together and how much good friends mean, and how much these special days that remind us of the times we had with those good friends mean. So it was that kind of a ceremonial day too for me.
And I like that point you make, because I've been thinking as the year goes on and we are still in so many ways reacting to this loss of normalcy with the pandemic. It seems almost like any loss on top of that seems almost extra devastating because it's compounded by this kind of all ever-present loss that we're all going through of normalcy. But I like how you mentioned, you know, it's a difficult anniversary, but also an appropriate time to celebrate the friendship.
It is, and you touch on that, the search for normalcy that I think we've all been in since the end of February, or whenever things really started to shut down early March, when, you know, I remember when a friend about my age said, let's suspend our Friday morning coffees at the local cafe and for a few weeks until we figure this whole thing out. Well, we had no idea then that it would be 6 months and we'd still be far from figuring this whole thing out. And the great thing about the outdoors, the place I was, is it's all the same again. It's all as normal and as grand and as safe feeling as it was. It makes sense. You know, so much of the last 5 or 6 months just haven't made much sense to us. And to find places, these touchstones of sanity and comfortable feelings and familiar places, they are so helpful, I think, as you touched on, when we've suffered through compounded losses and fears, to find things that aren't fearful, that are comforting, and that can kind of right us a little bit, center us a little bit. And so that's what was going on too, as well as opening day and remembering an old friend.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned in your piece for this week, this hunt for ruffed grouse, and as you're looking for them, instead you find cows.
Yeah, and, you know, those forests are multi-use public resource areas, and so you sometimes run into off-road riders, and you sometimes run into horses on trails, and you sometimes run into mountain bikers, and you sometimes almost to always sooner or later going to run into cows because they're grazing leases out there. And sometimes those aren't noticeable, the impacts, and sometimes like on dry periods, and it's very high in the area that I was, or very dry in the high areas that I was in this year. And so the impacts of cows are greater, and I think sometimes the land is used a little harder when it's drier because there isn't as much food there for the livestock, so they press it a little bit, and the damage that they do with their hooves is greater. And so that was a mitigating factor in the joyful process of renewal that I went through Tuesday to see the realities of diminishment there. And that's an issue. That's one of the issues I really hope to look at in my retirement as a semi-retired journalist, is the whole multi-use concept of this forest, and is it out of balance in some areas? And there were times on Tuesday when I thought maybe it was a little out of balance there, which is not to put down the cattle grazers, the ranchers. They're just doing what has always been done in the forest. I just wonder if maybe we could retool that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about, well, I guess walk us through for folks. For instance, I have never been hunting. I don't necessarily have any quarrel with hunters, but it's easy to fall into that preconceived notion that hunters are there to take what they can from the land and then go. It's not necessarily meant to be a free-for-all. There is such a thing as ethical hunting. Talk to us about that.
There is, and some hunters are slobs. And some hunters are there to take, and they're there to kill, and they don't care. And the best thing we can do for them is write them tickets and put them in jail. And as hunters that care about the sport, the real sport of hunting, not just the killing, the whole process that you go through respectfully for the game that you're after and for the land you're on and for the relationship between the land and the game, and that you don't have any game without a healthy ecosystem. Our job is to, when we see things and hear things, to share those things with law enforcement so that these people that are trying to destroy the land and the hunting experience that we have in the hunting tradition are stopped. And that's always an issue, but I think most folks out there with guns are out there safely and respectfully and to follow the law and to take advantage of some things that we are able to take and use and enjoy. And, that's what I do with pheasants, with ducks, with some other things that I hunt. And less often, quite rarely, I do it with rough grouse. and the reason that I have trouble finding rough grouse is management in the Black Hills, frankly. There used to be a lot more aspen. There used to be a lot more rough grouse. There used to be a lot more diversity in the ecosystem up here. And it's become largely a tree farm in many areas, and that hasn't been good for wildlife of most kinds. It hasn't been good for stream flows, hasn't been good for a lot of things. So there are land managers trying to do some things about that, and I sure hope they do. And if I can help with that, I'd like to.
We've been talking with SDPB blogger Kevin Wooster. You can find his blog on The Other Hand on our website, sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, thanks as always for visiting with us. It's always a good time to talk.
Yeah, me too. Thanks.